This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
The Don and Mike Show.
I know yesterday was the man's birthday.
Hey, Blackjack Dude! Yeah. Come on, hit me, man.
How about some Bruce, though? You ever heard Bruce Springsteen do a Viva Las Vegas, baby?
You know, I don't know whether I should say this or not. I don't think anybody can do this song badly. It's such a great song.
Right.
Well, how bad you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
Yeah. Just the devil. How are you anyway? What have we here?
Well, what have we here?
Ollie.
I know, so true, Dick.
That is so true, Dick.
Dick. How about you, George?
I doubt I'd be standing here if I hadn't quit drinking whiskey.
Right.
That was funny.
You think so?
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Let me try.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Whoa, look out! Look out!
I am loving.
Hi there.
We've got a little breaking news coming into the Fox 5 newsroom. According to the Associated Press, the questions are now over. Joe Gibbs apparently is re-signing with the Redskins.
Resigning.
Resigning, rather, yeah. With the Redskins. Sorry about that.
He's a fag.
And now he's resigning.
Yeah.
Why Menzel?
I don't know. Praise Jeebus.
How you doing? Peace be with you. Praise Jeebus.
Jeebus.
I can't believe it. These guys are fags.
Hi.
These kids are fags. I can't believe it. God damn it, they're fags.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
What is he, a faggot?
Well, we both are.
That's ridiculous.
Right,
hey, Krusty.
How about the phone number?
Let's pick a phone, and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime. From anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Check in. Buzz over there, Buzz.
I'm here.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Right.
Being careful, it's very important to me, because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
All right, a little quiet for Super Jock.
There we come.
I swear to God, you look like one of the handsomest guys I've ever seen.
Thank you.
It smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Every day. It's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
So there we are. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
How's your old tomato?
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. Hi there, little brains. Don and Mike Show, and it's a Tuesday. Yeah, the phone number is same as it was. I'm sorry. Pardon. Even better. Wednesday. Even better.
I Bonus. Felt like it was Tuesday. You sold it. I was sitting over here like drifting away just thinking whether we were going to have stories of another medical procedure.
It's Friday.
Hey, Friday. Everybody enjoy yourself. What if we could do that? What if we had that power?
Wow.
To make the day whatever we want. Well, I know what we do.
Class dismissed.
Yeah, we'd have Friday every day. It'd be Friday every day.
My.
Saturday.
It'd be Saturday. No, then we wouldn't be here.
Right?
Come on now.
Come on. Every day is Friday on the Don and Mike get together.
Every day is a fabulous Friday party.
And you just put your dial position in, but it's always sunny at 106 when you're listening to the Don and Mike Show on WJFK. Let me say it in Baltimore. It's always sunny and 105.7. Seven, excuse me.
That's right.
Seven. But it gets weird when you get to the AM stations.
Yeah.
You know, like in Sacramento, where it's always sunny and 1150 degrees, or whatever the screwed up dial position is on that station.
What is our dial position on KHTK?
I think it's 1140.
It's 1140?
A very comfortable
1140 degrees. That's always sunny. You know, you played that tape about George drinking, and I forgot to tell you when I came in yesterday that, you know, I occasionally read on the vacation.
I doubt I'd be
standing here if I hadn't quit drinking whiskey.
Yeah.
And you know that that lovely liberal publication you buy me every year, Vanity Fair?
Oh, yeah, the magazine.
Sure. I was reading in Vanity Fair. There, it's just the editor has one of these like letters that he starts the magazine with. And he talked about a British guy that alleges to have spoken with the doctors shortly after W had his little choking on a pretzel attack where he hit his head and had a laceration.
Yeah. Oh, sure, at Camp David, right.
And and apparently the doctors claim that after they got the blood work back, that there was alcohol, lots of it in the blood.
Wow!
So you know you read this and you say, "Well, they kept that one under wraps." But boy, isn't it fun just to speculate if he's you know really if he has a really bad day and he just knocks a few back?
That's every day.
Yeah, but really, I mean, I like to think of him, you know, getting into the White House living quarters and bouncing off the walls, just being real sloppy, like Barbara. I don't give a rat's ass about primary.
They got to send him to a safe room, though.
He's probably got a really isolated part of the living quarters in the White House.
What was that Jodie Foster movie? A panic. They sent him to his panic room.
Right.
Send him to the panic room. Well, we've heard rumors for years about
sure.
that.
He used to
still be juicing a little bit.
If he and got too drunk, the cocaine would hold him up.
As long as we're discussing politics.
I puked in the Lincoln bedroom.
My man, Hillary.
Your man, Hillary, pulled it out last
night. Yeah.
My man, I never wavered. I said Hillary is the man.
Yep, you did.
And look at that. She stood up last night. She put hers on the table just like Obama did, and boom, she's the man.
You think this is it? You think it's all the way to the nomination now?
Well, who the hell knows?
After exactly. last night, who
seriously.
Does know? Who really knows on either side who the candidates are going to be?
And with everything, it's based on such a small sample of people, and I know that a small percentage of Americans vote as a nation.
Right.
But we're talking about, especially in New Hampshire, and with these Iowa caucuses, we're talking about small groups of people living like nomads
in a small state,
you know, in their own I don't want to, it's an ugly word, Charlie Manson's group. They called that a cult, and
Charlie's family.
A cult is a weird ugly word.
Jim Jones had a cult.
It's only beautiful after Blue Oyster.
Yeah,
that's right.
Blue Oyster
There's
cult.
A cult.
But you have these people that are living in caves.
On the other band,
who's that?
Sure Club.
And
then file that under the so bad it's good category right there. Cheer Club.
But they all, like I said, they're hill people. They have horses and buggies.
Mountain
they're
folk.
They're proud of the fact that they are not like the normal people, that they're all independent as hell.
New Hampshire, I've spent more time in New Hampshire than probably anybody here, and I can tell you New Hampshire ain't right.
It's a little off.
New Hampshire just ain't right. Really, a little off. You cannot pigeonhole New Hampshire. You don't. New Hampshire has so many different people.
And they're proud of that.
And they're very proud of
that.
In fact, I really almost believe what I heard one pundit talking about today, saying that maybe the reason they voted in such large numbers for Hillary is because every poll and every expert was telling them they were going to vote for Barack Obama.
Right. That makes
you
sense.
Almost, if you know New Hampshire people, you would almost think that is true.
No one tells me what to do.
That's exactly that. Well, I guess they've got it all figured out then.
And, you know, and a lot of them lied on the way out on the exit
you
polls.
You bet they did.
Yes, they did.
They voted for Hillary and said, who'd you vote for? Oh, Barack Obama.
Isn't this the period, you know, with a couple of presidential elections under our belt where the same thing happened, aren't we beginning to realize that these expert polls are really just a bunch of crap?
We never learn because we're hungry for that.
Well, no, we never learn. We never learn
who the front runner is.
And they like to say that they aced it with calling John McCain the winner.
Right.
They aced it with him. They aced it with his victory over Mitt.
You know what? Someone needs to buy him some whitening strips right away. I mean, those are teeth that were not meant for high def. If you win a primary and you got that big, gigantic, I did it grin.
Oh, for the love of God, he was tortured by the North Vietnamese.
Yeah.
I mean, how you would have bad choppers, so you wouldn't have time for whitening strips either.
Mike, all it takes is 15 minutes at night. 15 minutes on the top and 15 minutes on the bottom.
I use those, actually. I use the new ones, the Listerine whitening strips.
Uh-huh.
I've been using them. Don't you notice?
Sure, Dick Clark.
Well, Ryan.
Listen, this debacle going on in my home is more important than any primary.
Debacle?
Yes.
You have a debacle? You didn't have a debacle yesterday.
Well, it's with the cat. And still? And no, this is something. No. How about this?
Yes,
this
yes.
is something new that Janet worked out with the vet. Now, we have a problem with the cat who has peed and gone number one on the bed. Don't look at me like kill the cat, because I think you're gonna...
That was not my kill the cat look. You know what that? Do you know what that look was? Did you see that look?
Yes.
That look was this. That look was
shrugging of the shoulder, like I told you so.
Yes, that was my I told you so. How could you expect anything different? It's a cat.
I think you're going to enjoy.
Oh, good.
You may enjoy the situation that my cat's in right now.
Oh, okay.
So, the cat has just actually gone to the bathroom. This is my fault. This is my fault that when Frida passed away, Frida would do all the stuff, like make sure that the litter, not that I don't change the litter box, right, but I was not as vigil as Frida was about making sure the cat went in just one room to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So the cat ended up pretty much going to the bathroom just all over the bed in the guest room.
Wow.
And it's driven Janet crazy.
Oh, you mentioned this a while back that the cat had kind of a reaction to Janet being in the house.
And it turns out it was not a reaction to Janet. She gets along great with the cat. The cat, just like with Frida, I guess it's just to have someone different in the house, a female in the house paying attention to the cat. She jumps up into Janet's arms now, so things are cool. But she's right. Still, the cat, Furball, the she, still pees on this bed and goes number two on this bed, even though the litter box is right there.
You shouldn't tolerate that.
So we brought her to the vet, and the vet says, well, it's a combination of things. She's getting old. She's not protesting anymore. She's just been allowed to go to the bathroom in this particular area, and this is now where she's convinced. So Janet said, what do we do? And the vet said, okay, very simple. First off, you strip the bed, throw away all the stuff. I mean, even the mattress cover and everything.
Anything that has a scent. Right.
Yeah. And what you do then is you take the animal, the cat, and you put it in a bathroom. And you shut the doors in the bathroom. And you put the litter box in there, and you put water and food in there.
Right.
And what you're basically doing is almost like what those goddamn gooks did to John McCain. You're putting the cat in the room, and you're basically saying, listen, 68 hours in the hole, 72 hours in the hole. However long it takes to break the cat, to make the cat realize, I'm now stuck in a room where there's a light on.
Right.
And the light will be on during the day, and the light is off at night.
You have a completely clean litter box when you put it in there?
Yep.
And you wait to see if the cat goes. What if the cat goes on the floor instead of the litter box?
Again, this is why the cat is in the bathroom. And they say, with the tile floor, just in case, because you want to break the cat of this habit. And this has been an ongoing thing in our house, and I know it's something that has to be done. And the way it's set up now is that the guest bathroom has little barricades in front of the door. Even though the doors are shut, she's got little barricades up there. Like the cat's going to be strong enough to jump up and, like Mr. Jinx and open the door.
Over the wall.
When I go by, I feel so bad because this is the sound that I hear.
Wanting to get out.
It is that I am so pissed. What are you doing to me?
Right.
What are you doing to me?
What if the cat goes on the tile instead of the litter box? What are you supposed to do then? Just give it another 60 hours?
I don't know. I mean, I wish that I...
Because is it a she?
Yeah.
She really hasn't learned if she goes on the tile, even if she's in the box, hole.
There's a point.
In solitary.
Mike, this is part of the problem. I only listen at like 50%. To a lot of this stuff.
Well, see, I don't even have the cat, and I'm more concerned about getting the details right on this. I'm with you on this. If you do this, but you got to know, there's got to be. You can't reward the cat. You can't let the cat out if the cat pees on the floor.
All I know is this about cats in bathrooms: it's virtually impossible to push a cat in a toilet.
Right,
they've always got their legs some way. They just don't let you do it.
Thanks, Rob.
You know what? I'm having an honor of you. I swear to God tonight, Jansen. What do you want? I said, let's have spaghetti.
All right.
I swear to God, we're having spaghetti tonight.
Cut it in small pieces.
Angel hair.
Tiny, teeny. Uh-huh. Anyway, so I don't know how long this is going to be going on.
Yeah.
This was something that Janet worked out with the vet, and it's one of those things where she told me the details.
Like, oh, so she's on it.
Yeah, she gave me the details, right. And that's why I say I listen 50%, because all I remember is, okay, at some point we're going to have to barricade the cat up in a bathroom, but don't be flipped out about it. And it was like one of those things.
So she's already done it then.
It's like Charlie Brown teacher, where it's like, all I know is that at one point I go upstairs, and the bathroom's barricaded off, and I hear inside just,
the plaintive cries of the cat.
And I'm like, what are you doing? She said, we discussed this. we discuss it. Look, the bed is stripped. There's the cat is locked in a room, and the bed is stripped.
I hope it works. I think it's a wonderful technique. If it doesn't work, as I always have with Buzz and everybody else on the show, I offer my services. I will take the cat for a weekend, and the cat will not pee on anything.
We don't need a cat killer, Mike. We just need the cat to stop.
That's right. It'll be like the scene in Meet the Parents, where I bring back an identical looking cat, but it's not the same cat.
Jinxy. But it's really my fault, because the cat had been beautifully trained her entire life.
Yeah, she'd
the cat
good.
Never soiled your house ever?
No. Maybe there was one spot in a room that she'd like to go to, but that door was always shut. But the problem
what
is
they do
when Frida passed away, it just kind of became all doors open.
Uh-huh.
Any spot. And it's really on me, because I think back to that time after Frida passed away, it was just me in the house, and I had a million things that were going through my mind, and I never really put it together that, okay, I changed the litter box, I changed the litter. I never really see the poop. She never really poops in the litter box, and as long as it was out of sight.
Was the cat pooping?
Who knows?
Places found
you still
later.
Don't know?
I don't know. I'm guessing Janet's found it and cleaned it up. She's been...
Because I would check under the...
She's been living with me over a year and a half now.
Anywhere that's dark and has, like, stairs or a place where the cat can crawl back into, that's probably where the cat did it.
Possibly.
I'm quite sure that she's cleaned up all of that. The other thing that Janet's very sensitive to that I'm not aware of, because I smoke so many cigars, is my sense of smell is not the greatest. And, like, I'll walk into a room and she'll say...
We're all appreciative of that, though, here in the studio.
She says, do you smell that? And I go, what? Smells beautiful. She's, oh, my God, the cat definitely has been going number one in this room. And I'm like...
See, cat pee is much more pungent than dog
pee. Like ammonia.
I'm like, you're kidding me. And she actually did over the vacation when she picked up a little throw rug and she said, I don't want to gross you out. She said, I can't believe that you cannot smell this. And I said, sweetie, I swear to God, I can't smell a thing. So she actually picked up the rug and, like, held it. A quarter of an inch from my nose.
Did you get it then?
And I'm like, nothing.
Smells like daisies.
Wow.
Nothing.
Smells like oranges.
Hence the problem, with the state of this mattress. Not to say that it's dripping wet and it looks like SpongeBob SquarePants, but I guess it's a bad situation that I let happen. So
no, please don't do that.
No, Mike,
please,
it's true.
Do not blame.
It's
not
very
when
true.
You're talking about this one of God's creatures that is put on this earth to do whatever it wants to do.
No, not
this is not your fault. This is not
I
your
love the
fault.
Cat. I love the cat. And the cat, even though the cat is clawless, I want you to know something. Uh-huh. That cat still manages every once in a while to catch herself a mouse.
Sure. I only recently had to come clean with my kids, finally, about the great lie. The great lie that Daddy had told
the big lie
the entire time they were growing up. And I finally had to fess up.
Which was?
Because Catherine, the oldest, the 12-year-old, is looking me right in the eye. And you know that age. Where they're becoming, grown-ups, and they're staring at you, and she's saying, Daddy, are you really allergic to cats? And I said, and I had to tell her the truth. I had to say no. And I had to tell the long story about, the house in Annapolis that I was trying to sell, that I couldn't sell because every corner, every nook, every cranny had been soiled by these cats, and that I believed in my heart of hearts that cats destroy homes, and that's why I never got them a cat.
I love the cat. I love all my animals. I love the cat because the cat is so much smarter than the dogs.
Oh yeah,
The dogs always get the rap of being smart animals, and they are, but really they're retards when it comes to
cats.
Well,
I guess the next time we're at the airport, we should look for all the bomb-sniffing cats that they have out there. I guess the next time that somebody is under a building covered with rubble, they should bring in the rescue cats that are going to... When have cats saved lives?
In fires. They awaken the owner and get
them
out of the house.
Oh, my God, dog would do a much...
I see
dogs rescue
stories.
Human beings with a St. Bernard with a thing under its neck.
Mike, how many times... Well, this doesn't really help my argument, but I'll throw it in there anyway. How many times do you ever see your tax money wasted with the fire department trying to get a dog out of a tree? But that really helps your side, mine.
Yeah, that's wasting tax dollars because the cat won't come out of the tree when the cat easily could scale the tree.
How many times have you seen a seeing eye cat?
You don't see a seeing eye cat.
Because they don't care.
You don't have any... What do cats do?
The cat would pull the blind person into traffic.
Cats supply wonderful pussy cat love.
They love unconditional.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Don.
Yeah, and Mike. Hi there. What's happening?
Hey, this is your cat. For the love of God, please let me out of the bathroom. I promise I won't pee on the bed again. This is killing me. It's driving me insane.
Right. Listen, I know it, but I want to tell you something, Furball. You have had every chance in the goddamn world.
You know, and here's where cats get a free pass.
Where?
And I'm not, you know, I joke about killing cats and doing all that. I don't. I have never killed a cat in my life. I have never done that. And I have
not
never,
all the way.
I've come close, but I never really have. You can't, even if you really get mad at a cat, it's not like a dog. You can't, like, whack them with a newspaper.
No.
You can't even really, you know,
first off,
you can yell
fast
at them and then they run.
They're too fast. They know the spots to go.
Right.
And they are smart.
And look at their food. You can eat dog food. You can't eat cat food. You really can't eat cat food. Cat food is foul. Cat food is
the
foul.
If you had to, you could eat cat food.
I just came from the cemetery giant, so that joke rings particularly true today, Buzz. As I've determined to old people, the only thing they buy at that store is bread.
They love tuna.
Bread and tuna.
Right.
And tuna. Cats don't, they don't serve man.
Hello, Don and Mike's show. Cats are cool. Man, hello, Don and Mike. Hey, what's up?
The cat doesn't crap in the humidor.
What, come again, my friend?
Make sure the cat doesn't crap in your humidor.
Yeah, I got you. No problem there.
You'd find that out. That's your treasured possession. You'd know that.
No problem. That would be a death sentence for the cat.
See? There. Now you're talking.
Although that's not going to be happening.
It has, right? It has limitations.
It would never dry out in there.
Listen, I love my cat, and if I've already figured out, if worse comes to worse, I have learned from Dwight on The Office.
Uh-huh. It's like what to do with the cat.
Do you remember when she said, he said,
you're going to put the cat in the refrigerator?
He said, I just froze the cat. And she said, was he dead? And Dwight says, yes. And then she says, but why were the bags of frozen
peas?
Frozen peas all
shredded.
Shredded. I would not do that, friends.
No. Dwight killed the cat. Dwight killed the cat because he wanted to. Dwight likes to kill animals.
Right, shrewd.
Although there is definitely a difference between, no ask Sherlock, between dogs and cats and the way that people react with dogs and cats. I remember our first cat, Boo Boo, and goddamn, cats live forever.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had two cats the entire time that Bart's been alive, 22 and a half years. The first cat, Boo Boo, we had when we moved to Los Angeles.
It's because they're evil.
And she passed away after about 10 years. And I don't know, Bart was 6, 7, 8, and Big Frieda was over at the time, and everybody was way sad about this. And Bart was in the backyard playing with some of his friends, and I know Frieda went outside and was very solemn and said, she was like, Bart, come here. Furball has gone to heaven. I want you to come and say goodbye to Furball.
Yeah.
And as he went running the other way to be with his friends, he just screamed, bye, Furball! Now I guarantee.
Attaboy.
I guarantee if it was, you know, one of man's best friends.
Yeah, if it was a dog, it'd be a much different story.
Would have gotten much more than the symbol. Okay, bye, see ya. We'll get another one.
But cats are, you know, cats are closer to being wild animals than any other domestic animal.
Mine are like dogs. They follow me everywhere. They sit at my feet, look up longingly. They stay with me everywhere. They're like man's best friend in that respect.
Well, could that be because you give them the attention that you would give, if you'd had children? I mean, would that be the reason?
They are well-dressed.
Because, you know, for example, Carla's pug doesn't really have that much to do with me. It's because Carla has raised that dog since the dog was a puppy.
This reminds me. I cannot say names. Let me just say this so that the people maybe don't know that I'm talking about them.
Okay.
I want to say that we received two different Christmas cards from friends that have those very annoying three-page what we did over the last year summer.
The family newsletter.
The newsletter.
Yes. We received the one from, actually, we got more than one this year. We got one from the born-again family where, like, every, you know, so we went to Disney World. You know, Jesus shined on us. We had
blessed.
A beautiful day, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. We got one that made me laugh out loud that it's a three-pager, and I'm just, you know, killing time on vacation. I'm going through all the Christmas cards, and it's like, these are people, you know, who don't have kids. Mm-hmm. And the whole first page is what they've done in their jobs and their lives.
Right.
And the next two pages are what the cats have done. And the next two pages, it's like, you know, it's been a busy year for Billy, and as I'm starting to read this now, I'm going to give it away here because
careful.
I didn't know this was someone who was not a direct friend of mine,
uh-huh.
And I said, is a legitimate newsletter where they're really talking about their cats?
Swear to God, Jack. Yeah. And I'm reading it. I said to Janet after about 5 minutes, I said, who are all these, you know, this Billy and Janice, or for lack of better names? And she said, oh, that's their cats. So it's a newsletter about everything that happened in these people's lives.
Including
over the last
their
year.
Pets?
Yeah, and the part about the pets has more to it than the part about them.
Sure.
Weird.
Really?
Very scary weird.
The people are very nice, and they're like Buzz and Marcia. They're crazy about their cats. Uh-huh. I don't want to piss them off.
Right.
But it was just incredibly funny to read. It,
I just thought of a very funny idea is to send out a fake newsletter. At Christmas time.
Like saying what?
No, just like, say, you know, make up family names.
Just anything.
Know, like Uncle Zed, uh-huh. You know, went to a Britney Spears party.
There's no reason you
his
can't
herpes
do that.
Is going to clear up that type of thing.
I mean, a lot of it was, for instance, we went to the Jersey Shore for 2 weeks. Jinxie had a wonderful time. Jinxie ran on the beach every day. Mr. Bill also had a great time.
These people need to be stopped.
Yeah.
We almost lost Mr. Bill on the New Jersey Turnpike when we stopped and we realized that Mr. Bill didn't have his leash. You
know, weird. Those are people that don't have a hell of a lot going
and
on.
This
if
is
that
on,
makes it into the family newsletter.
This is on green and red paper that's right. You know that's got the wreath on top of it. Right. It's the family newsletter.
Jesus, that's very strange.
Newsletter's no place for that kind of thing. You save that for your blog.
Newsletters, people don't care. It's complete arrogance
it's true.
To think that everybody cares about every detail of your family.
The problem with the newsletter is this. If you're close enough with the family to care about a newsletter, you
right.
already know all the stuff that's in it.
Exactly.
Right. So it's a stupid idea.
If you're an acquaintance or a friend and you read that, it's like, who?
Right.
Who are we talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Until you find out they're cats.
Now it's interesting.
Well, if everybody wrote about their pets, that would be a different story altogether.
It would.
Yeah, so we got two that were funny. We got the one about the cats and then the one from my side of the family with the I swear to God with the Jesus I mean every single thing, you know, Jesus blessed us with a great year this year, you know, the Florida Gators went to whatever bowl. Well, Jesus was shining on the Florida Gators that year. You know, Billy got an A in science. Jesus must have been shining on him for all
a lot of
the,
that, huh?
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, you know, it makes you after a while you're like, okay.
And that falls in also.
Give me the one about the cats. I'd rather read about the cats than read about Jesus.
Well, isn't that the second type of arrogance within that? The first part is that people want to, you know, care about what the family's doing so much so that you need to put a newsletter out.
Right.
The second is the same arrogance that I believe when I hear athletes say that you know, you think he doesn't have anything better to do, that he's looking specifically at you,
focused on you
because you got that A on that report card or you won that football game? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think it works that way.
Except with the Packers.
I think he's looking at the big picture, Don.
No, he's looking at
the big picture.
He's looking at Brett Favre there, Mike.
You think the Packers have been touched by God?
Touched by God.
Oh, my God.
I saw, hey, hold on a second. Don and Mike should hold on there. I saw a thing on ESPN about the Packers. They have one of those paintings hanging up in their locker room. You know that thing that we used to have in the office that has, like, Jesus touching hand,
yes.
Touching fingers?
Yeah, what's it called? Creation?
Yeah, it's creation.
Yeah. It's the creation.
Everyone knows that photo.
Right.
Anyway, they've got it hanging up in their locker room. They showed it on ESPN, and it's Brett Favre touching fingers, like, with Vince Lombardi.
That's great.
It's the weirdest.
And it's in their locker room?
It's right outside their locker room. It's,
God,
like, the weirdest goddamn thing I've ever seen. I'd throw up if I was a Packer.
There you go. Brett Favre has been touched by God.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Hi, I'm sorry. Thank you for waiting.
Hello.
Thank you. I'm from the roof of the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, ceiling, I should say.
Well, the roof, same thing.
Don and Mike?
Yeah, what's happening? Hi.
Hey, I had a funny cat story.
In order to see that, Don, it wouldn't be the roof. You'd have to tear the roof off the sucker.
Because the roof
is on fire.
The roof is on fire.
That's right. Yes, it's you, sir. You're on the air.
Okay, we're ready.
Oh, my gosh.
Ready
I'm
for
on the air.
Ready for a funny story.
Well, you know, I hate cats. I really do.
Attaboy.
And, you know, one day we were out in the country, and I figured, you know, I'm a pretty good at archery, right? And I can hit probably at 100 yards with a longbow.
There's one guy in here that doesn't like this story.
It's Buzz.
Buzz does not like these stories.
Even I'm smiling when the guy says, yeah. I'm good at archery.
Good at archery. How do you ignore that one?
Sure you are, my friend. Go ahead, Robin Hood.
There's this giant white cat. It's been hanging around the house. outside driving our dogs crazy every night, howling and howling and howling.
Those
right?
Four dogs. Yes,
so
go ahead.
I said, I had enough. Honey, I'm going to get my bow and arrow, and I'm going to kill it.
The cat belonged to the Bumpkisses.
So what I did is I finally got this cat, and I kind of chased him a little bit, and he went up a tree. He's sitting in this tree, and I walk over with my bow and arrow, and it's only 10 feet away. Uh-huh. I rear back. I put my arrow in. I rear way back.
I hope you hurt yourself in this. Please, come on. Now you're talking about shooting an arrow at a cat.
Let him finish.
Okay.
The cat is staring at me.
Yes.
I mean, he's literally staring at my eyeballs, right?
Yes.
Right.
And?
And I let go, and I'm nervous as hell. I'm just nervous because I don't like killing things. We go out and shoot 3D targets all the time.
Okay.
Right?
All right. So what happens?
So I missed it.
Yeah. And?
I missed it.
Yeah.
And he just sits there and looks at me. You know, and my arrow is just shooting up out of the trees, just going wherever it went. I don't know.
It was in passing.
I don't even know where it went. And he just looks at me and says, well, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, that was his 10th life or something? I don't know.
Yeah, it was actually a direct hit, but the whole nine lives things that intervened and it deflected the arrow.
See you later. And I felt terrible. So God, you know.
Did you only have one arrow in your quiver?
Yes. Yes, I only had one arrow.
So you felt you had one shot, and that was it. Did the cat eventually come down?
Oh, yeah. He just looked at me, stared right in my eyes, and then just crawled right down the limb and then took off, and that was it.
Oh, well, that's good. That has a nice ending. That's a good story. You're right. That is a good story.
Yeah, great story. What? What, though?
The cat never came back after that.
Oh, that's good. At least he accomplished something with that.
He never came back, and I was just like, what the hell happened here?
They're smart.
22 is a better weapon, you know, really. I mean, if you want to get rid of something.
Like I always say, never bring a bow and arrow to a gunfight.
Exactly.
Yeah, the cat pulled out a 9mm.
Oh, no.
Fired 8 rounds into the guy's chest.
There's a reason the Cowboys always beat the Indians. You know, guns beat bow and arrow every time.
Yes.
Every time.
Right.
Not 9 times out of 10. 10 times out of 10, guns beat bows and arrows.
You're, of course, talking about in movies and in a Western folklore. You're not talking about folklore, are you?
I'm talking about in real life.
Oh, real life. Okay.
Like back in the gold rush days.
Real cowboys.
Cowboys and Indians.
Real Indians.
Cowboys and Indians.
No, I learned everything from F Troop.
You tell them hell is coming, and I'm coming with it.
Here's just a random question. Really, beyond season one. Besides Rob, who the hell would need seasons 2, 3, or 4 on DVD of F Troop?
Who would need season one?
Yeah, it's really not a
An historical standpoint. Standpoint.
I don't want to take anything away from one of the great actors of all time, Larry Storch. Agarn. I mean, Agarn, one of the true great foils of TV comedy.
You know, there are a lot of weak TV shows now offered on DVD, virtually anything. You know, you can go to Best Buy and buy a box set.
Right.
I'm just curious, for something like F-Troop, which was not a gigantic hit back in the 60s, I'm looking at the first one going, maybe I'd buy one to see what, and it's like,
for fun.
Hold on, if you like this, try season 2, season 3, season 4.
Right.
What they need is a box set that just gives you the highlights, the best parts of each season. You don't need the full season.
See Ken Berry at his wackiest.
Oh, he is wacky.
God, that's right. He was on F Troop.
Forrest Tucker.
Forrest Tucker was great.
Yeah.
Forrest Tucker was the skipper of F Troop.
Exactly. Wasn't the beginning of F Troop always some guy climbing a ladder and then the ladder falling back down? Like in
that
the
was
opening
part of
sequence?
It, yeah.
Well, one of the worst things about F Troop, if you remember correctly, was the fake Indians. The Indians that were obviously white guys.
They're like New York mobsters.
Exactly. The same guys.
Yeah.
They'd use the same guys that you would use to play the thugs.
It's like Big Pussy or Jelly from Analyze This.
They'd have New York accents.
Oh, we're Indians.
We're going far away over that mountain there. Better be careful because we're going to attack this fort.
Over
we're
there.
Going to attack this fort at sunrise.
Over there.
See, the end of the Civil War was near, and by accidentally, a hero who sneezed abruptly seized in retreat and reversed into victory.
Agarn.
Accidentally.
Buzz had it.
Yeah.
You nailed it, Buzz.
His medal of honor pleased and thrilled his proud little family group.
So again, beyond, you know, maybe the first box.
F-Troop.
Although it would be a great name for a porno, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, F-Troop.
Probably been done.
Well,
I saw, well, I saw like a boot camp porno one time, which was fantastic.
It could be like F word troop, T-R-O-U-P-E.
Exactly.
Know? Like a bunch of minstrels.
Have you ever seen that porno? The one player. where they go to like boot camp?
Boot camp, no.
Oh, it's incredible. It's called sex camp, I think. And it's like they have the hot lady with the sergeant's hat Bear sergeant's hat on,
right?
Oh, and they're teaching them how to do everything.
Is it old or new?
It's probably relatively new, I would think.
Like, Forrest Tucker in that?
He's not, but Larry
Something
Storch
that rhymes
is.
With Forrest Tucker.
Larry Storch was huge.
Yeah, oh, of course,
in more ways than one.
F Troop. Uh-huh. I'm sure there's a porno called that.
I'm sure there is.
All right, one more call. Don and Mike show that we got to hit a break. Hello.
Gangsters, what's up?
Hey, gangster, what's happening?
Hey, man, no offense to Buzz here, but I think cats and dogs are all useless bums. All they do is hang around the house, eat off you, you know, sleep in your house, and make a mess. Cats, if I do that, I have kids.
You know, I
right, gangster.
I holla,
sun rooftop.
I can see the
digging
point.
Digging the scene, doing the gangster lean. Boo hoo.
Pets are pets. I mean, they're really, they don't, they give us comfort. That's
what does not kill me makes me stronger.
If I want comfort, I'll jump in.
That's some Kanye for you, gangster.
Holla. And I like to say that as wimpy as I can.
I was Mike and I representing.
Thank you.
I didn't like it.
Of course you did. You know what you do have, though,
what's
for
that?
The show? Rob doesn't like that, but he did offer up this.
What?
The top out of the Fortune 500 companies, Rob found 5 of them with Nazi heritage.
Of course he did. Of course
How
he did.
He
and I mean, and beyond, the, you know, Volkswagen, uh-huh. You got to know that because that was
right.
Adolf's car.
Yes, sure, right.
But, hold on, Volkswagen, right? Hitler wanted a cheap, reliable car. Everyone in Germany could
the
drive.
The people's car.
Volkswagen. Hugo Boss.
So, Robbie, you tell me 1% of...
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
1% of Fortune 500 companies are Nazi run?
Made it big by helping the Nazis.
Oh.
Right.
For instance, Hugo...
They've got to be the old companies.
Hugo Boss.
Oh, well, that's a German company.
Yeah. Hugo Boss was the manufacturer of the uniforms for the SS Guards and for Hitler Youth.
They were sharp.
They weren't. Look, say what you will about the Third Reich.
Snappy dressers.
They were snappy dressers.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. How about IBM?
Oh.
A lot of American companies worked with the Nazis before WW2. IBM kept working with them after it started. And this is bad. IBM made punch cards, which were the way that people kept databases. Right. So IBM shipped Hitler punch cards so the Nazis. They could track people. Everybody,
well, that's bad.
Everybody had a car.
I don't like that at all.
I just said that. I said this is bad.
I've met some guys that worked at IBM.
They made cards for Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, and it would ID where they would be spotted.
Well, the company was International Business Machines.
Right.
Yes, and it helped us track the gypsies.
Mm-hmm. What are the other ones?
Bear
Aspirin?
Yep. Part of a conglomerate called IG Farben. And they made the gas.
Well, Bayer is like a German name, right? Bayer?
Of
Hello,
course.
Bayer.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's B-A-Y-E-R, not B-A-E-R, like Max Bayer.
The gas the gas that was used.
Jethro Aspirin.
The hideous gas was made by a Bayer employee named Fritz Haber.
Hello.
Hi. And then you have Siemens.
Yes, we do.
You mean the furniture company?
No, the cell phone. You know,
electronics.
During WW2, they had slaves from concentration camps building tons of things for the Nazis, including their gas chambers.
Mm.
Siemens was the marquee brand of Nazi Germany.
Was Siemens a German company?
Yeah.
S-I-E-M-N-E-N-S, I guess.
Yeah, today they've lost several lawsuits, and they're forced to pay billions to Holocaust survivors.
Ah.
As well they should.
Thank you very
changed.
Much, Rob.
Think about that the next time you
Rob Spiewak. Join us tomorrow when we have another segment of Rob Spiewak in his spare time.
He said, I got something for a whole segment today.
Yeah, sure. A whole segment.
Well, there you go.
He would have liked it that way, wouldn't
world.
He?
Yes.
There you go.
We all wear our uniforms.
That'd be sharp.
Hugo Boss.
All right, Robbie, we got to break, everybody. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.